Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4 tonight, Ephesians chapter 4. And honestly, tonight's message, fit and fill, I was kind of going with fit and finish, and then I'm like, it really doesn't fit, so I guess I stuck with fill. And so we're going to talk about that tonight. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 16 is where we're going to start. And I'm going to do something a little different. Normally I'm all over the place. I'm going to try to stick as much as I can to this text. We'll add some more verses in as well. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 16. It says this, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So, fit and fill. So those are my two points. So if you want to start filling it in, you can. That's cool. Fit and fill. And so 2 points tonight, but I think God has got a great message for us tonight that we can all apply to our lives. And so let's open tonight's message with a word of prayer. I know we just prayed, but let's ask the Lord bless this time, especially during this service. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the God that you are. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that even in times of difficulty, Lord, we can come to you, we can talk to you. And Lord, we know, Lord, that you're fully capable of helping in every situation. Lord, you may not work the way we want you to. You may not work the way we expect you to. But Lord, we know, Lord, that you are always at work. And Lord, you're at work right now, Lord, in our hearts. Lord, allow our hearts to be open to your word. Allow our hearts to really be challenged tonight from this passage as well. And Lord, I ask, Lord, that we wouldn't leave the same as when we came in. Lord, that we would leave changed tonight. And Lord, we pray this all in the wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so point number one is fit. Okay, there you go. Perfect. Nailed it. Point number one, fit. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 15. I know I said we're going to try to stick with this text. We're going to look at one other verse here. Verse 15, it says this, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. This is important because this is, we'll get into this, but he is the one who is the head of this body. He is the one who is the head of this church. Remember, Christ is the source of life, energy, and increase of the church. Without Christ, we are nothing. Did you know that tonight? We're nothing without him. Without Christ, our work is nothing. We can talk to people about salvation. We can talk to people about a lot of things. But without Christ, our work is nothing. Without Christ, this body, this church is dead. Okay? Without him, there's no point for us being here. Okay? You getting it? Without Christ, this church, this body is dead. He is the only source of life for this body. It is so important that we get this tonight. Because as we talk about this topic of fit, and when we talk about the topic of fill, you have to understand that Christ is the ultimate head of this church. It's not Pastor Holmes, okay? It's Christ. He is the shepherd. Amen. So, Christ placed you where you are. Do you understand that tonight? If you're here, a part of this church, if you're a member of this church, if God has called you here, God placed you here. And so he has a purpose in it. Let's look at our verses here. Let's look at verse number 15 first. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now look at the next two words. From whom? So who is the whom? The whom is Jesus Christ, okay? So Christ placed you here on purpose. It's not an accident that you are here. It's not an accident that you're in Clyde, Ohio. It's not an accident that you're a part of this body. Christ has you here on purpose. He knows what he's doing. There is a reason that you are here, and I hope that you know what that reason is and you're actively using that reason in this body, okay? Now look at this next point here in verse number 16 of Ephesians chapter 4. From whom the whole body fitly joined together. Do you catch that there? Fitly joined together. You know what he's doing? He is actively right now growing us closer together. In that time of prayer that we just had, you know what he was doing? He's causing us to grow together. We have been through some storms here in this church, okay? We have. But you know what he's doing? He's actively fitting us together. He's using it to draw us closer together. This is not a work that's already been completed. We are to be continuously growing together as a body. All the time. Every time we come together, throughout the week, we are to be continuously growing together as a body. You have been placed exactly where Christ wants you tonight. So with that, don't be jealous of the position of someone else. Sometimes we think, well, that person has this position of authority. That person has this position of clout. Don't be jealous of them. Christ has placed you here on purpose. He has a role for you to fill. Don't be jealous of another. Also, don't be discontent with where God has placed you. Sometimes we do that, don't you? Don't we? Have you ever done that before? Just raise your hand. Just be honest, okay? It's Wednesday night crowd. Sometimes we get discontent with where we are. We want to be that position. That person gets all the praise. That person gets all the pats on the back. I want to be that person. No, don't be discontent with where you are, with where God has placed you. Remember this. This is so important. You have value tonight, not because of where you have been placed, but because of the price that has been paid. Do you get that? You have value tonight, not because of where you have been placed, but because of the price that has been paid for you. You know what that price is? The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. You have value tonight because of what Christ did for you, not because of the place that you have been placed. Right. Brother Tooley in the back does not have value because he's a missionary to England. He has value because Christ died for him. And let me tell you something, that means that every person we come in contact with has the same value. Okay? So the person who doesn't look like me, the person who looks all rough, has the same value as my pastor. Why? Christ died for them just like he died for him. It's so important. No one can take that value away. Whether you have a position of honor and then all of a sudden that position gets taken away, no one can take your true value away. It's so important. I don't have value because I'm the youth pastor here. I have value because my Savior died for me. This here is the idea of growth in harmony of structure. I want to ask you this question tonight. Are you fulfilling your divine purpose? God has placed you here on purpose. We've talked about that. He is fitly joining us together. He's causing us to become unified. Are you fulfilling your divine purpose? We're going to come back to that question a little later. But as we go back to our passage, Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 16, we find this, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, and what's the next word? Compacted. This has the idea of actually being knit together. We find this actual phrase in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 19. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. Knit together, you're compacted, meaning you're brought together for a goal. You're brought together for a purpose. This is actually us being driven together. Have you felt that recently? What we're going through? Where we're actually not being driven apart, we're actually being driven together. We're actually coming together as a church. This actually is to unite us around a similar cause. Now, I think there are two causes that really a church unites around. Number one, the cause of sharing the gospel. This is one of those causes that you and I should be able to be driven together, okay? Sharing the gospel. Look at Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Jesus says this, and he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But he shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." One of those things that should drive us together is getting the gospel out. You know why I love Missions Conference? It's not for the food. It's because I'm reminded that I am to be sharing the gospel with everyone I come in contact with. I need that reminder. I go about my day, and I go into stores, and I do stuff, and the last thing I think about is sharing the gospel. Anybody else there? The last thing I think about is sharing my faith. The last thing oftentimes I'm actually doing is sharing my faith. But one of those causes that drives us together to be unified should be sharing the gospel. Number two, this is basic, okay? The next cause is the glorification of our God. Okay, so number one, that is sharing the gospel, this cause to be driven together. The second, the glorification of our God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." This should be a driving force in our life. Is it? That as I go about my life, my number one concern is not my own glory. Not someone going, "Oh, Dan, you're awesome. Oh, Dan, I love your hair." No. The number one thing in my life has to be glorifying my Savior. It has to be. If it's not, I won't be filling my role. I won't realize that I have a design for why I am here. Without this thought of being really consumed with the glory of God, I cannot be unified with you. You know, unification really requires something, that you're unified around a cause. If we talk about this topic of unity and we're like, "Oh yeah, the church should be unified." You know why the church gets unified? Because they're unified around a similar cause: sharing the gospel and glorifying our Savior. Okay? You want this church to really stand out? Let's all think the same way. Let's all have the same goals. It's not about me getting the praise. It's not about you getting the praise. It's about my God getting the praise, because he's the one who deserves it. Remember, he's the one who fits you here. He's the one who called you here. It's not about you, it's about him. The joints are united and sustained in this manner by us being driven together. More on that in a bit. I'm kind of jumping ahead. Now let's look at number two. I know, I'm moving tonight. Number two, fill. This is so important. God has called you here for a purpose. He has fitly joined you together. He has compacted you, meaning he's brought you together for a purpose. Now let's look at how we fulfill this purpose. So, number one, impacting others in the body. You know God wants you to impact others in this body. He doesn't want you to just show up. You're kind of be like, "Yeah, I'm here." And then you walk out the door and you never talk to any of those weird people again. That's not why we want you to think about it. He wants you to impact people here. Let's look again at our verse. This is important. Ephesians 4:16. "From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted," look at this, "by that which every joint supplieth." Do you see it here? Every joint supplieth. Every part of our physical body is dependent on the other parts of the body. I've been playing soccer with the kids for the last few years, and I love playing soccer. It's really fun until I get hurt. Okay, then it's not very fun anymore. I'm getting older. I get hurt much easier. Okay, I understand that. I was playing soccer with the kids on Monday night, and I actually kicked another kid's bottom of their cleat. And now my toe is purple. I never think about my big toe. Anybody else ever think about their big toe? I never think about my big toe until now. I'm walking into work, and I go, "Ow, ow." And I put on these dress shoes, and I'm like, "Oh, ow, that really hurts." And I was out passing out tracks, and Alita was wearing shoes that were hurting her feet, and she's like, "Ow, ow," and here we are, invalids walking down the street trying to pass out tracks. She actually took off her shoes and walked barefoot for a little while, and then she's like, "That wasn't smart." You know, you never think about these things until you get hurt. You don't. You don't think about that big toe until all of a sudden it's purple and it's not comfortable. But guess what? Every part of your physical body is dependent on the other parts. Your brain is very important. Dave, I'm glad they found out that you have one. That's good. Your brain is very important, but you know your brain will never get nutrients unless you take food and put it in your mouth. And then your stomach and everything else does its part, and you get nutrients. If you didn't have your hands and you didn't have a mouth, your brain wouldn't have any use. Every part of our physical body is dependent on the other parts. Let me tell you something. It's the same in this church. This church is dependent on the individual parts.
Right.
Pastor Holmes can get up here and preach to an empty auditorium. But guess what? This church will never be what it's supposed to be unless us, the parts of this body, do what God has called us to do. You understand what I'm saying? If we didn't have people who came in here and cleaned this place, like Ronnie Messer and Ryan Sinclair, this place would look like an absolute dump.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? You don't never see them. They do their job. It's the truth. In this church is dependent on you. God has given each of us talents that are to be used to impact others. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is another passage that really talks about the body of the church. And look at what he says here. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body. Look at this last phrase. As it hath pleased him. Do you get what he's saying here? God has placed you here as he wanted you to be here. Meaning, you have a role. You say, well, I'm not important. If I'm not there, nobody will care. Yes, they will. Because you have a job to do in this church. Are you all paying attention? Are you all getting this? Okay, I know it's Wednesday night. You have a job to do in this church. You do. Awana would not happen if it was just Nate Griner. The radio station would not happen if it was just me and Dave sitting over in a building and people didn't support it. It would not happen. This church would not exist if people didn't pour their blood and sweat and tears and their finances into this ministry. You have a part. If we are not filling our role, the body will never be what it needs to be. Do you get what I'm saying here? This church will never be what it was meant to be unless you and I are fulfilling our role. God has fitly joined us together. He has compacted us together. And he now is saying, look, every joint supplies to the working of this ministry. If we are not filling our role, the body will never be what it needs to be. Every part of the body is necessary. You are necessary. You're awful quiet tonight. You are necessary. You get it? You're necessary. Oftentimes we think, well, I don't know what we'd do without Pastor Holmes. No, you know what I think more? I don't know what we would do without the members of our church. Pastor Holmes is very important. I like his preaching. I like him as a person. We coached Little League soccer together. It was really fun. He's still doing it. I've quit now. No, he's a great guy. You can have the best pastor in the world, but unless the church catches the vision of the pastor, nothing happens. That's good preaching, man. Teens, youth group is not all about me. If you don't come, I'm standing there sweating like I normally do, and there's nothing happening. You're necessary. You're necessary to this body. Our elderly saints, well, I can't do what I want to do. I can't knock on doors the way I want to do. You're necessary to this body. Let's continue on in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working. Each part contributes to the production of the whole. I've never been in Whirlpool, but I'm assuming it's very much like many other factories where people do certain jobs repeatedly, and then other people do certain jobs repeatedly, and then all of a sudden a washing machine shows up. I'm guessing that's pretty much how it happens. Kind of close. So let me tell you something. If all of a sudden one part of that chain just does its own thing, goes, you know what, I don't feel like making a washing machine today. I want to make a car. And they start bending the metal into a car shape, and they go, okay, here you go, and they pass it down the line. The people on the next part go, that's not a washing machine. That looks like a car. Guess what? No washing machines are going to be made. Each person has a part in this body. Each person has a role to be filled. And sometimes we can get almost to that point where it's mundane, where it's kind of like we just kind of do it. But each part is necessary. No one is to be idle in the church. No one's to be idle. You're not meant to just sit there and show up. You're not meant to be just like, okay, bless me, pastor. No. I think what has happened in our church, if we're honest, not just our church, but the church in general in the United States of America, is we have a lot of people just kind of sitting there, I'm doing my part. You wonder why England and other places that were massive lights are now the darkest places around. Because there's a lot of people kind of going, I'm doing my part. I think it's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to realize that God has a purpose here. And I am to be doing it. If you don't feel like you have a part in this body, you do. And I encourage you tonight to find it. And then fill it. I invite you tonight to just ask the Lord, hey, what should I do? What can I do? Lord, what do you want me to do? What gifts have you given me to do? And then you do it with everything you got. You don't go, okay, yeah, this is my part. And you just kind of sit there. Okay, I'm going to help out with Awana. Have fun, kids. No, get involved. It's just the truth. We go, okay, this is my role. I got it. And then we just think that then we can be idle in that role. No, we have to be involved. You know, if my role and my gift is being an evangelist, sharing the gospel with others, guess what I need to do? I need to be actively sharing the gospel. By the way, if that's not your gift, you should be developing that gift because all of us are commanded to do it. Okay? Sometimes we go, well, that's not my gift. I guess that's somebody else's role. No. Be developing the gifts that you know are weaknesses by going with somebody who you know it's not. One of the greatest things that ever happened in my life as a Christian was my youth pastor had a brother that was actually an evangelist. And he came up to visit his brother, and we were doing door knocking like we do with our teens, like what we did tonight. And he said, okay, Dan, he's going to be your partner. And I'm like, cool, this sounds fun. And so he told me, he's like, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to knock on the first few houses, and then you can kind of see what I do, and then you're going to do the next ones. And I'm going to be here just in case you get stumped, just in case you stumble, and then I'll kind of interject, and then I'm just going to take a step back, and you take over again. Like, okay, sounds good. So here we go. We're knocking on the door, and I'm like, I'm like, wait, that's one. Okay, two. Oh, what did he say? And then I get to the third one, and I'm like, I'm next. This is not good. And I stumbled, and I struggled, and I forgot John 3:16, and I forgot Romans 3:23. And I'm like, do I even have a Bible? What is this thing in my hand? You know, fingers work. Guess what? He came in. He recovered the conversation, so I didn't look like a complete idiot. And then we walked away from that house, and he said, hey, Dan, here's a verse that I've used before. I've used 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. Never thought of that verse before. And he said, I use this all the time. How about, you know, maybe you interject that the next time. Okay, sounds good. 1 John 5:13, put my finger in it so my fingers will actually work this time. And guess what? He just developed that. I hated talking to my own parents. I don't like talking to other people. But he developed that. He worked with me on that. And if you don't know how to door knock and you don't know how to talk to people about your faith, go with somebody who does. Find someone who has done it before and you go alongside of them and you just watch them for the few houses and you go, I got the next one. And when you stumble, they're there to help recover. It's so important. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Do you say in here? In the role of every part. In that measure of every part. No one is useless. You may go, I don't know a verse. You're not useless. Share your testimony. You go, well, I stumble at words. Think of Moses. God gave him the words. That's right. There have been times that I've forgotten Romans 3:23, 3:10, Ephesians 2:8 and 9, John 3:16, I even forgot that right now. You forget all these verses and you go, I got nothing. And the Holy Spirit brings a verse that you memorized in Awana to your mind. That you haven't used in years. And then that verse that you wanted to say, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, you say Titus 3, 5, and 6 instead, and they're like, whoa. There's a reason why you forgot Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. God was working. No one is useless. Now, why are we fitly joined together? Why are we compacted? Why are we all these other things? Look at what it says here in Ephesians 4, 16. Look at this last phrase here. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. All of these things are meant to increase the body. Increase its influence. Increase its physical numbers. Increase its impact. God has brought you here to increase this ministry. God has brought you here for purpose. God has brought you here to do something. If you're not doing something, do it. Fill it. Do what God has called you to do. Use your gifts in this ministry. Use your gift of service. Use your gift of edifying. Use your gift of whatever God has given to you to make this place better. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Every part of the body is useful. So you are. You are meant to edify. That means to build up. I would use this illustration, but I'm not going to do it on the pulpit. I've done it with our teens before. I take two white chairs, I stack them up on top of each other, and say, you know what that is? That's edifying. If I'm not edifying, you know what I'm doing? Then I kick the chairs. I knock them over. I'm sorry, Pastor. I've probably broken a few of them. No, I'm just kidding. I haven't. I kick them over. You know what I say? That's not edifying. So if we're not edifying, you know what we're doing? We're actively tearing down the body. If we're not physically building it, we might as well be kicking it over. So if you and I are not edifying the body, meaning we're not building the body up to increase it in these ways, then you know what we're doing? We're tearing it down. This is our mission as a body, to be edifying, to be building it up, to be increasing it. So here's the question I have for you tonight. Are you doing those things? I don't know what roles you do. I know some. I don't know everything. I know, shocker there. That's why I'm bald. A lot of traffic, okay? You may think, well, I'm here, that's enough. It's not. Pastor, no doubt, has things that he wants to do in this place, but he's looking for workers. No doubt, there are ministries in this place that go, you know what? We need just good, solid Christians to be a part. I guarantee you there's parts of RU. I guarantee you there's parts in other ministries, whether that's children's church, whether that is whatever. God has called you here. Get involved. Get involved. And don't be like, ooh, that's cold. Ooh. No, jump in. Both feet, jump in. I would do it, but I'd probably break my other toe. Fit and fill. God has placed you here. You already fit. Are you filling your role? That's the question tonight. You can all stand up. We're going to have a time of invitation because I think when a message like this is preached, we have to consider where we are. God has called you here. He's fit you. You have a role to be fulfilled. Are you fulfilling it? I cannot answer that question for you. And honestly, I think the Holy Spirit's already talking to you about what you need to do. First of all, I'd ask that if you already don't have a role that you're filling, that you ask the Lord what you should do. The Lord tells us in James, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. But then he says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. We know that God has fit you here. If you don't have a place yet, ask the Lord for wisdom. He'll give it to you. Maybe you have a burden that pastor has never even thought about. Maybe you can make this body increase by using that ministry. I think church, if we catch a hold of this, we can change this community for the God, for the glory of God. Amen. He has called you, fit and fill.